Hello, my friends. Hello, my life warriors, wherever you are in the world. I hope you're having a good day, a nice relaxing time after Christmas. This is episode 13 of the podcast. Once again, I have got my lovely lady here today. She might be a little bit ranty today, but that's another story. Yes, what were you saying about your foot, my lovely lady, Carolyn Goddard?
I don't like to be able to feel my feet, and if I can feel my feet, something is wrong with the world. They should be cold and dead as feet intended as God intended feet to be. Hot feet are an abomination.
Okay, yes, you can have a slight idea of how things might actually go with this podcast today. Today, the podcast is going to be basically more of a reflective podcast of how the last decade's gone, potentially what sort of goals and ambitions are for the next, for the new year, new decade. But as I say, I fear this might actually be a little bit random. From my other half here. How would you like to kick this off?
Can we just first kick off by saying that I have some happiness in my life after somebody pointed out that we can call this the Crimbo Limbo stage of the celebration.
Crimbo Limbo. Where did you get Crimbo
that
Limbo
was off,
from?
That was off of Twitter, and I am 100% on board with calling any date. Well, the 27th to the 30th of December is Crimbo Limbo. Well, you don't know what day it is. Should I be at work? Should I not be at work? Is there any turkey left over? Can I take the Christmas tree down yet? Because it's pissing me off.
Okay. Wait, like, it's pissing you off. Look.
I think the Christmas tree is going to go down tomorrow.
You reckon so? Like, not going to make it to the new year?
I really want it to make it to the new year, but it's already annoying me.
Why is it annoying you?
Because it's just there.
Look, you should wait, I say. Wait until the new year and then basically take it down in the new year.
Can I take it down on the 1st, or do you want me to wait till the 2nd?
Well, like, you know what? With regards to that, that's dealer's choice. So if you want to take it down on the 1st, you can take it down on the 1st. If you want to take it down on the 2nd, you can take it down on the 2nd. It's your choice.
Probably going to go down 9 a.m. on the 1st.
Okay. That is very specific. Yeah. It's like, you already got a plan for this.
I might not even be dressed when I do it.
That's going to be one for the neighbours, I'm sure.
Mr. Watchy over the street.
Watching you with their binoculars. Always watching.
Oh, and you will be pleased to know across the street I've got their fancy suitcases back again.
You know what? I fear, like, you might be watching them a little bit too much.
Yeah. I was disappointed. But you can see them really clearly through the window. I'm not being a crazy stalker, but right, if you look out the kitchen window and they've got their lights on and it's dark, you can see straight into their front room. And they've got a very nice, very artfully arranged stack of old-fashioned suitcases as a feature in their room. And they disappeared for a few days, but they're back now, so it's okay. Mm-hmm. I suspect they might have been, maybe a Christmas tree stood on them. Who knows?
Okay. Like, me thinks you've been staring across the way a little bit too long. And, like, you know what? If the police come knocking on the door sometime in the near future, I'm going to just say it's all her. It's not me. You want her.
I think with the Met's history of institutional racism that I will be able to deflect attention from myself reasonably easily.
Yeah, you know what? With that happy note, I will just
don't worry. Me.
I'll rat you out. I'll rat you out. I don't care.
You know what happened to snitches?
Look, I'm not Tekashi 4, like, what? Tekashi 6ix9ine. Ah, that guy. You know what? That guy makes me laugh. 2019, that guy at the beginning of the year, he was going on about his this, his that, gangland, everything like this, and everyone warned him, like, don't say, like, stop talking like this, don't say anything, and before you know it, police knocking on the door, picks up a federal case,
and like, dude, yeah, shut the fuck up. Like,
and yeah, and you know what? He snitched out everybody. You know what? If he makes it out of prison into witness protection, it's going to be ridiculous, because, like, that guy's got a huge tattoo of, like, 6'9", right on his face. It's like, you look familiar. I wonder why.
It's like, something about me makes me think gangster rapper.
Yeah, gangster rap.
Oh, I can't quite put my finger. Oh, it's that giant 6'9" in your face. It's like, shit.
I need to be relocated. I know this is the 10th time in the same week, but come on now.
Well, we've gone off topic again as well. Yes. We're going to talk about resolutions.
Absolutely, absolutely. But yeah, with regards to our resolutions, it's going to be a sort of, hopefully.
I think we should start with your main resolution this year. You should tell your listeners what you're planning on doing, because it's a bit mad, but also, hopefully, you should be able to raise quite a bit of money for charity from it.
True. Okay.
Right. Sorry, we were both just having a drink.
Yes. With regards to my resolutions this year, I've got three type resolutions. The first one, it's nice and simple, just like, yeah. Same as last year, get through 10 to 12 audiobooks throughout the year. On the last podcast, I brought up like a couple of books which really sort of like hit the note for me.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to venture out of kind of inspirational self-help books and management-y spiel and fitness books? Are you going to, dare I say it, venture into fiction, or is that a step too far?
Well, we shall see. Like, look, I'm most probably going to get the Jeff Bezos-like book as well. But, like, you know what I mean? Like, with regards to certain, like, books, I might actually do Game of Thrones. That's a big tasty book.
That's
right there.
That's 33 hours.
Yes.
Which we'll come on to in mine, as we know. Uh-huh. For the first book.
Yes.
And then obviously there's more than one. So yeah, that'll see you through a couple of runs, I'd have thought.
Yeah. Which books did you, because you did audiobooks as well, which ones sort of really hit the notes for you?
I really liked, I listened to 10 audiobooks last year. Mm. Is it 10 or is it 9? I think. Yeah, no, it's 10. It's 10. My favourite one was a book called Dynasty by Tom Holland.
Okay.
Which was about the rise of the Caesars and their kind of rule over Rome and subsequent decline.
Yes.
That's really good. And honest to God, man, what went wrong with the Romans? Wow.
I think it was a case of
lead poisoning.
Yeah, it was like lead poisoning, seen as lead plates were...
And pipes, I believe, yeah. For the water. But yeah, I mean, you start off with the rise of Augustus after the Republic has fallen.
Yeah.
Caesar seizes power. Caesar is stabbed, obviously. A two brute. Then there's a prolonged civil war, and as with most times after a civil war, they're just, you know, the population get a bit like, we'll just take anybody as long as you stop murdering each other and decimating the economy.
Yeah,
and
that which was how Caesar was it?
So Augustus is the first of the Caesar family.
Right.
So then have the dynasty. So then it was. So then it gets a bit confusing because the Romans adopted sons. So it wasn't like a royal dynasty as we have in the UK, where,
yeah,
you know, the eldest son and now the eldest daughter would inherit. It was normally a child or family member that wouldn't inherit, but they could adopt in children and they were treated as if they were their own son. So his adopted son Tiberius then ascended to the throne after Augustus died. And then... I should remember this because I want to say Caligula, then Claudius, then Nero, but it might have been Claudius, then Caligula, then Nero. I think it was Caligula, Claudius, Nero, and then the dynasty came to an end because Nero was such a fucknut so that he didn't manage to reproduce.
Yes, I'm going around killing and pillaging around the country.
Oh, very much.
Wait, should I have an heir? No time for that. No.
By this point, let's be clear, right? I think if I've got it right, because obviously there's so much in this book of like murder, death, rampage, fratricide, matricide, all that kind of thing. I think he married a lady. She got pregnant. He came home in a drunken rage. He kicked her and the baby to death. Then he became obsessed with the thought of her. but decided that he was going to shape somebody into the kind of living embodiment of her. Only he didn't choose a woman, he chose a eunuch. Yeah, this is how crazy things had got by the end of it. This is after pleasure palaces and murders and all sorts.
Wow.
I mean, it's a really great book.
You
should definitely 100% listen to it. And the author's done a few others that I'm going to listen to. So I've got in my wish list, he's done one on the Republic beforehand. Okay. And then he's got one on like Persia and the dynasties and the rise of that. So I'm going to listen to that one. And he's got a recent book out about how much Christianity shapes the like Western world.
Okay.
Which is a bit different, obviously, because it's a bit more serious and probably, I assume... less trying to create the embodiment of your dead wife out of you. But who knows?
No, yes.
Who knows?
Yes, I'm sure it's a very insightful book about, wow, what's the name of the book again?
Dynasty.
Dynasty.
Dynasty by Tom Holland, not the what? Spider-Man actor.
I got to say.
You were like, well, I got that book like, been busy.
Youthful, but why so?
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Like, you know,
you're just doing that in between making the Marvel movies.
You know what? There's a lot of downtime. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, for, you know what? Now that I'm here, hey, Chris. Hey, Robert. I'm just going to write myself a quick book about the dynasty of the Romans.
The Augustine dynasty, yeah. I think, annoyingly, I think for Tom Holland, the author, he has the more obvious Twitter handle as well.
I see.
Yeah. He's got a bit of the old John Lewis problem.
Why are all these tweens sending
declaring
me
their undying love for me? What?
Leave me alone. I am just trying to do something. It's like, no. No, you want the real Tom Holland.
Yeah, he has some redirections going on. But yes, I think that was my favourite book that I read last year, listened to last year. I also listen to... Oh, man, I listen to loads of different things.
Yeah.
I quite like Call the Midwife, because I did the book version of it as well. Because, as you know, I'm slightly obsessed with the TV series.
No. It borders... It goes beyond obsession. It seems like it's a full-blown addiction for you.
What else did I listen to? I did a couple of Neil Gaiman things.
Yeah.
I'm halfway through American Gods, so I'm going to finish that off in January.
Halfway through?
No, well, not even halfway through. I'm about, I've still got like 14 hours. It's quite a long book.
Wow. Like, this is the thing. I think the longest book I listened to last year, I think it was possibly either Jordan Peterson.
I did 12 Rules of Life as well.
Yeah, 12 Rules of Life. I think, which is around about 14 hours. As I said, it is quite a meaty book. It is like the sort of language you use. I had to listen to it at least a couple of times, and like it's
I did
still yeah
love it.
This is the thing. You know, I wouldn't say I didn't dislike it, but it was very sort of, yeah, you had to really be paying attention to
yeah,
it.
It's not really my type of kind of book either. It's like, for all my mocking about you, about your self-help, and I'm not really into those type of motivational, like, guidance books, and I've never really listened to one, and I probably won't bother listening to another one.
Well, like, this is the thing. You should, like, I've said this before, but, yeah, David Goggins, Can't Hurt Me. Like, if you want to, like, basically have a light, like, a true life story of someone who's
don't
gone through it.
Don't mind a bit of true life story.
Hey.
That's always, you know what, and a terrible thing to say, but if you tie it with a bit of poverty porn as well, I'm probably, I'm a flawed individual, what can I say?
Well,
like the ones where it's like, oh, and then my mother tied me to a hot railing and beat me repeatedly, but then social services turned up and saved me, yay. And now I'm in the army.
You know, all I've got to say is, yes, David Goggins, Can't Help Me. Can't Hurt Me. Yeah, you're going to love that book.
Okay, good. You know, right, yes. Well, I might get in on that because I do like, as flawed as an individual as that does probably make me, I don't quite like one of those.
No.
What was the ones I listened to that I thought were good? Generally, I can do my which one I disliked the most.
Which one was that?
It was The Miniaturist by... Oh, somebody. Lady author.
Oh dear, that's bad. Like, what was so wrong with it?
It was it was a weird one. So it was set in like 1680, I think, in Amsterdam. So okay. like its historical setting was quite good. It's fiction. Mm. It was just a bit. Like I wrote, you know what you're saying, to struggle. I struggled with it.
Yeah.
I probably had to like push myself to get to the end. And it's all about this young woman turning up married. And then this the miniaturist who makes little like model dolls for Doll's House, which is a thing from that period. That was kind of a super luxury item to have, was, you know, really yeah. bespoke Doll's Houses. Starts leaving the protagonist like little messages and clues and stuff, which is interesting. But then she kind of disappears and it just turns into basically a modern day soap opera where everybody, like her husband, I won't do all the spoilers, but every character is a bit woke. Every character is kind of a bit of a cliche of a woke, but set in like the 1680s. So it doesn't really work. It's very much an imposition, like a modern story onto a historical setting. And it's fine, by all means. Right? I've read some trashy historical literature, but they don't try to present themselves as being serious.
So it kind of strikes me like it's a CW teen sort of drama set in the 1600s.
Almost a bit, but it's trying to be more serious, and everybody treated it as more serious. That was why I read it, because it was on various book reviews and the BBC made an adaptation of it. And yeah, it's trying to be that. Like I said, I mean, I've read a couple of Philippa Gregory ones, who is always very much... chick flick historical setting.
Yeah.
No problem with that, right? Just don't pretend that you're something that you're not.
Other than what you are.
Yeah. And it was really annoying because from what I understand, she had actually, because when I read it, I thought, well, she's painted a really good picture of like this period of Amsterdam.
Yeah.
And from all accounts that I've read on the internet, it was actually, she has actually done it very accurately. Mm. So it's a shame that she kind of ruined that by then not researching the kind of social mores of the time.
Yeah. So would you say it felt quite rushed? It was just...
The end was definitely rushed. It was like I don't want to ruin it in case people are going to read it, but it's very much like by the end of it, it's just like, oh, and then this happened, bye.
No, like, you know what? No, that sounds like a great book. I would love to read it at some time. Or listen to at some time.
No, I don't. If you're gonna do a fiction, I think you should do a couple of classics.
Well, like, this is the thing.
I think you should do Jane Austen.
No.
I think you should do Pride and Prejudice.
No.
Why not?
Look, it's just like, yeah, you know what? I wouldn't say I'm a Philistine or anything like this, but Jane Austen, not really my bag. Pride and Prejudice. Yeah.
It's only really one of the, you know, standout novels of the...
Yeah, yep, regardless, yeah. Yep, I'm going to say that again, yep. No.
You enjoy it?
Oh, well, yeah. I don't think so. I will leave that to you.
Okay, so I'm also going to try and carry on doing one audiobook a month, because yeah. obviously you get one from Netflix. I'm now pretty much up to... I got one spare, which is Game of Thrones. So I'm going to... I've got... To finish off American Gods, which I'm enjoying.
Yeah.
Weird book, but all Neil Gaiman books are weird.
Yes.
And then I've got Game of Thrones. And then, like I said, I'm going to do a couple of more from Tom Holland, I think. And I'm going to also carry on with... I started reading J.K. Rowling's detective series. Okay. Well, listening to the Cormoran Strike ones.
Are they any good?
Yes, and I don't like murder mystery detective things. It's not really my bag.
Yeah, I'm surprised at that, because you do like watching a serial killer sort of series type
thing.
Yeah,
but that's because it's real life. I don't like it when it's fake, because obviously it's not real. But I don't mind if they're well written, and again, it's an area where there's a lot of trash in them.
Okay.
So I really enjoyed it, and I listened to that one right back at the beginning of the year. So I'm going to carry on with those. I think the characters are really well done as well.
Okay.
So I shall, I'll probably do a couple more of those, and then I'll see what else kind of floats my boat. I picked up a couple of random ones last year, just flicking through what was recommended.
Yeah, no. Like, this thing. One of the books I found really interesting was Phil Knight's Shoe Dogs.
Yeah.
Like, basically, that gives you such a clear insight into the sort of realm of business. For people who don't know, Phil Knight is, like, one of the key... Well, he is the founding father of Nike, basically going through his time of Blue Ribbon, when it was Blue Ribbon, and basically how he had to be dealing with like the Tiger Shoe Company to get the shoes over here, then basically sort of to the birth of Nike and how they basically took it all the way up to when they kind of floated the company. So like that book, I've got to say, other than it's the first sort of real book I've like taken a look at which like gives you a true clean insight into the days in, like the day in and day out of running a business, what the sort of main factors were, like the main factors, challenges to get things like moving forward. I would say anyone who is thinking about running, like running their own business, or has quite a keen sense of interest in it, definitely pick up Shoe Dogs.
I think I might put that one on the list. I said because Game of Thrones is so long, I don't know if I'll see how I get into it. I might just end up doing 3 months back to back of Game of Thrones in the end. However many books have been released. Is it three? Is it Eastern Time?
I honestly don't know.
I think it's
a lot. Yeah. It's a case of the TV show. As much as I love the TV show, except the last season. They left out so much from the books. It was ridiculous. If you could have ran two different, you could have run two different shows with the amount of material they had. You said it's, I think, you said the audiobook's 33 hours, right?
The first book is 33 hours.
Oh, the first book.
Yeah, so you're not getting all three of them for 33 hours.
Oh,
so
you're
looking at about 100 hours committed listening, I think.
Oh, good God.
But that's like if you read Lord of the Rings, you're on it for about 6 months.
Yeah, you know what?
But you can miss all of the Tom Bombadil section. And the bit where they turn up at Rivendell and recount what they've just done in the last 400 pages.
The
next 200 pages, you're like,
I've had a couple of friends back in the day, when they were in school, go through Lord of the Rings and
read it.
Ed definitely. But when I just looked upon just seeing the book, which just looked like, I was just like, what on earth is this? He goes, Lord of the Rings. I was like,
I've got the book version, and it's very thick, and it's in teeny tiny writing.
Yeah, it is very thick. carrying around that is sort of carrying around a small millstone. I think it's if you're a book reader, getting Lord of the Rings, getting your Lord of the Rings badge is definitely one of them.
I think I've read it twice now. I think I've read Two Towers and Return of the King twice, because I read it all, then I read each of them before the film was released. But not The Fellowship of the Ring, because I read it all just before The Fellowship of the Ring.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think I've read it twice. I've read The Hobbit about 17 times, because The Hobbit's tiny, tiny.
I don't know how they managed to turn The Hobbit into
badly is the answer. How they managed to turn that into a real, real horror show.
Yeah, because that should have been a
2-hour film.
Could have been a 2-hour film, or they could have just simply did the battle and left it at that, or just do the whole Smaug bit and left it at that.
The dwarves, they turn up, the dwarves, he goes with them, they have a little adventure, they run into a bear, they get to the mountain, they wake Smaug up, Smaug goes up and tries to burn the village to the ground, he gets shot, the dwarves wonder where the dragon's gone, etc, etc, battle of the five armies done, eagles. That's it. It's not.
That could have just been two films. If you really wanted to stretch it out,
you could have made it.
The whole journey, fighting a bear, fighting a big bear, then.
No, they're friends with the bear, don't worry. The bear's in the film.
Wait, is that the shapeshifter guy?
Yeah.
Okay, meeting the shapeshifter
meeting
guy.
Meeting the bear.
And then basically, doing the dragon bit.
Done. No,
and then having a fight. Yeah, they could have done a really long film of, say, 3.5 hours or so.
It made me angry. It made me angry how bad the films were. I think because of how much I loved Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Oh, we all loved it. But,
Yeah, you know what? You know what we all were when we went to see The Hobbit?
Suckers.
No, a fool of a Took.
Fool of Took, yeah. 100%. Yes. 100%. I regret every minute of it. Although I still haven't watched the 4-hour fan edit, which I believe is actually okay.
Well, I'm sure it is.
I think I've got it on a memory card somewhere around here, a memory disc.
No. Like, yes.
New Year's Day, right?
Okay.
I mean, why did they put the female elf in as well? Why did they put the whole love story in with the... I mean, oh, God. Right, no, let's just get off this topic because it's going to make me angry. We avoided Kazirant so far.
It's like, hey, no, well...
You're trying to push me into Kazirant.
I am not trying to push any emotional buttons you might have about Lord of the Rings or whatnot.
So... Okay, so let's go. So I've got my audiobooks, and I've also got that I want to try and read a book a month as well. So I set a goal for myself last year to read 2 books a month, which would have been 24 books in the year.
Yep.
Did 5. Not a great success rate.
Yes.
Mainly because I stopped commuting. So I did all those 5 whilst I was commuting from London to from Cambridge to London.
Okay, yeah.
Perfect. No, reading opportunity.
Look, put it this way, that is 50 minutes to an hour and a half, possibly, of dead time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I am going to try and incorporate that back in, but I'm going to try and be good. And when you go to bed quite early, before me, sorry, everybody, but background picture.
You're getting a clear insight into the exciting life.
Is the exciting life of Caroline and me?
That we live in this world.
So wild.
Oh, yeah.
But instead of watching trash TV, which is what I normally do, I'm going to try and be good and read. So I will keep, we can do another podcast on this to follow up. The first book I'm going to read is, I'm going to what's it called? I can't even jump up quickly to go and find out what it's called. We'll come on to that.
Yeah, why can't you jump up quickly?
No, we'll come on to that. We'll come on to that. It's about a kind of autobiography, but of this guy's family, and it's about these little... It starts off with the little miniature figurines that he kind of inherits. Again, I don't know why everything revolves around miniature figurines.
Okay.
But apparently it's very good. It's very good. So, yes, I'm going to start with that one, and then I'm going to flip around a bit between different kind of genres a bit on my books. I'm not sure yet what I'm going to go with.
Yes, I hear you. Yes. Yeah, with regards to my sort of record with sort of reading books, yes, I stand at, how can I say, a highly committed, firm but strong 0 once again. Yeah.
You should really start reading some more books.
I will. Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out the time. I've got a book on Arlie, which I'm going to get around to. Don't ask me the author's name.
I'm going
to
read that book that fella got you for your Secret Santa, Talking to Strangers, because did you read the blurb? It sounds well good.
No, yes. Talking to Strangers, yeah. Basically, that book was... purchased as a Secret Santa gift from a chap called Max Young at my workplace. So, yeah, he was like, yes, Secret Santa. Like, I got when he... When
I like the subtle... I like the subtle humour in it, given that the job that you both do.
Like, hey.
Well done, Max.
Yeah. And, this is the thing. I didn't guess it was Max who gave me the book as a Secret Santa, gift. It was, when it was like, it was me, I was like, yeah, the thing what made it worse is Max was sitting to my left, so right next to me, the penny did not drop for me whatsoever, but
you should definitely try and read that, because I think it looks like it's going to be really interesting.
I shall give it a good read. It's just a case of...
Effectively sounds like it's quite a good non-fiction book on covering how and why humans can be so bad at interacting with people they don't know.
Ah, yes. Yeah.
So it's not a guide on how to talk to strangers.
Hey, is Max trying to drop me a hit? Hey, Max, wow, you son of a bitch, Max. Wait until I see you in the office. I'm going to get you.
What else?
Bastard.
The other thing, I've got a couple of podcast series that lined up. I want to try and listen to 4 podcast series in total. They're ones that have a limited run.
Yeah.
So they're mainly Radio 4 ones. So they're going to just be an interesting little mix of things. I'm going to listen to Caliphate as well, finally.
Okay.
Which really good.
Yeah. With regards to the podcast series, you say they're limited. Is it 4 or 5 episodes? Or
so I think Caliphate's got 8 episodes. Uh-huh. There's one that Radio 4 did on the 100, History of 100 Objects.
Yeah.
The other one that I was going to listen to is... one about the history of the modern world. There's two history ones, the caliphate, and I can't remember the other one that I found. I was like, oh, yeah, cool. I'm going to listen to that. And then, yeah, because I don't think I can keep up with a running series of ones because I'm not that regular of a listener to things. But yeah, that should kind of broaden my mind a little bit more.
No, that sounds good. I've got, with regards to my sort of resolutions with podcasts, I would like to do like 52 to 100 episodes of this next year, 2020.
One a week.
Either one a week or like doubling up. But yeah, try to crank out as many reps as possible with regards to the podcast. Like one of the things I think is going to be quite challenging is going to get people in on the podcast because I've got I've teeny weeny following and like you know what I checked the numbers today and I've had something like 153 or is it 159? Bear with me. Go here. Let's go back one.
That's 100, not bad. 159 downloads.
Yep, 159 downloads. So basically, it is ticking along nicely. I'm happy with that. You know what? It could be worse. It could be absolutely zero. So, like, there are people listening to it.
In Germany as well?
Yeah, like, yeah.
That's
Germany.
A random one. Didn't you have one in Chile as well? Oh, yeah. Your single Chilean listener.
Oh, yeah.
Hola, no. Mexica.
Yeah.
Apologies for that.
Oh, yeah. One of the interesting things about it is, like, the sort of, like, I look at the analytics sort of once a week, just so I can sort of get an idea of where it's been downloaded. By far, not London, I'd say the United Kingdom is top, like got 120 people who downloaded it. I don't know if that's individuals or like, you know what I mean, just one person like being really enthusiastic about it.
I just downloaded it 120 times.
No, thank you. It helps soothe my ego.
All the people in America, the people off the NBA.
Yeah. just curled up in a ball, like just gently rocking back and forwards. Like, why doesn't anyone listen? Why?
How do you say hello in German?
I do not know. That's bad. I did date someone who lived out in German. Guten Morgen?
Guten Morgen. Guten.
Good morning.
Gutenstag? Nacht? Because silent night is Stille Nacht.
Yes. Okay.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. So are you trying to tell someone to be silent?
Oh, God.
You know what? With this quick interaction, the one clear thing I've learned from both of us, we would not survive in Germany that long.
I remember when I flew into Germany for the first time and looked around the airport and thought, I don't speak a single word of German. Yeah. I don't even know what exit is. I don't know what entry is. I don't know what passport control is.
Oh, nope. This is the thing. I've only been two places in Germany, Hamburg and Munich. I was Hamburg, I was out there having a good time, back then. And because I went out there for work at first. Sorry to say this. Yes, the young lady out in Hamburg.
I know about the German ex-girlfriend. Yes.
And then, then Munich, I was over there for someone's stag do, Ed's stag do. And I'm not going to go, I could go into the story.
We can't give Ed's surname out because we have career threatening information about that.
Well, put it this way. Yeah. I think that whole stag do might still be a sore point in Ed's household, so I won't go into any sort of detail with regards to that, but sort of going to it, I've had 19 downloads. Change the subject quickly. 19 downloads from
and three in the Netherlands.
Don't
know any Dutch either, even though I have a Dutch aunt.
This is the thing. I think that might be
Deutsch. That's do you speak German?
Yes. I have an idea who that might be from the Netherlands, but
And hello to our single Polish listener, Commonwealth of Australia, Kingdom of Spain, and yep. Republic of Chile.
Absolutely.
I like the Poles.
Oh,
and they like Poland.
Well, like, this is the thing. I did work with many a Polish person and, like, many a Portuguese person when
I
was in the Swiss
Laundry. I like how distressingly blunt the Poles are, particularly Polish women.
It's like
that carefully constructed, like, protective layer that you've got over yourself. They're just like, fuck that.
All I've got to say is I have seen that in action firsthand, and it has brought, how can I say, much sort of amusement and joy. Yeah. seeing some poor person getting crushed with the sort of Polish lady attitude. Yes. So yeah, I believe you.
It always brings me much joy and fear.
No, there's nothing to be fearful of the Polish people. They are nice.
So you're going to do 10 to 12 audiobooks. You want to do 52 to 100 podcasts. And
absolutely.
Then what's your... So is this project the marathon project?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, basically,
explain the marathon project to your listeners. Because it's mad.
No, well, basically, I'm not too sure if I'm going to call it the 36 project or just basically, yeah.
What's 36 got to do with it?
Basically, what I want to, like, the reason why I call it 36,
I know.
The reason why it's called, why I'm thinking the 36 project is over the course of 2020, I want to do 24 10Ks and then basically 12 marathons. So yeah,
so we after some careful planning we have identified 12 marathons for him to do.
Yep.
Roughly one a month. We've still got booked January, so no, make sure you get into that.
Yeah, we basically the plan is in place. I just need to sort of get things booked on quite quickly. So that will be most probably my mission for later tonight and basically early
and
tomorrow.
We have been hindered somewhat in January by somebody's inability to try.
No. You know what? Okay. Here we go. Now, yeah, someone's inability to drive at this current time. You know what? What happened?
Do you know what one of
individual?
What one of my resolutions is
yes?
for 2020?
Please,
would you like to know
please.
What one of my resolutions?
Okay.
Not to drop a storage sheet on my foot and break my foot in two places.
Tell you what, please, you know what?
I mean, I think I've just elaborated
on that. okay. Now, I don't know if you pictured this. I'm at work, going around my usual
How
stuff.
How are you the centre of this story?
No, sorry. The reason why I'm the centre of this story is this is my current perspective of what went on. Thank you very much.
No.
Please, let me continue. Okay, at work, minding my own business, going on with things. Then a WhatsApp message comes through going, something along the lines of, don't panic, I'm in A&E. I don't know about you, humble listener, but my first response was
panic, freak out, running around like headless chicken. That's why I said don't panic.
No. What the hell is going on? Then a quick call.
No, I have followed up in the message with why I was in A&E.
I might
have broken my foot.
Uh huh. No, please.
I'll let you know how it goes.
Please. Go into the whole story of how you did this.
So, from my perspective, the more important perspective of this story, obviously, because I'm the centre of the universe,
your modesty shows
I know,
no bounds.
I am in the process of refurbishing a flat in Manchester for my business, for the refurbishment business.
All good.
And I arrived on Sunday night without assistance from my beloved, noted. You could have avoided this accident if you'd been there. And I successfully extracted a fridge freezer out of a cabinet and did some other bits and then went to bed. And then the next morning I got up and there is a very, very large storage heater on the living room wall. Now, for people who have not been acquainted with storage heaters, aka non-UK residents and non-poor people, because they've all been in the crappy flats I've lived in. Storage heaters are designed to run on the Economy 7 electricity system, where you get cheap electricity at night.
Okay.
So they have bricks inside them, which warm up overnight and then release the heat during the daytime.
Okay.
They are inefficient, expensive, and crap. And so everybody removes them, because now you can buy perfectly good convention heaters for the same far less money, and they're normally huge as well, because they've got bricks inside them. So there was one in the living room, and I decided to tackle the storage heater, and because it was on legs, I decided to detach it from the wall and move it forward slightly so that I could get into the back of it to remove the bricks.
Go ahead.
I think you can all see what's
wrong. No, please.
I don't need to spell it out.
No, please continue.
So as I stood in front of the storage heater, remarking upon my success of detaching it from the wall, it fell over, straight into both my feet, with all its bricks inside.
You numpty.
And it hurt a lot. A lot. So then I lay in the bedroom for a little bit, thinking, don't worry, your feet aren't broken. The pain will go off. It'll be okay. And they're quite cut as well, my feet, and I've cut my hand. So all together, it's not looking good. And I'm like, no, it's fine. The pain's going to go off. Let's not tell anybody that this has happened. We'll just pretend it never happened. So I thought, right, 7 o'clock, Sainsbury's will be open now. So I will go to Sainsbury's, get some plasters, get some bandages, etc. Sort myself out, some paracetamol, which I did.
Okay, that's
so I
great.
Drove
yeah.
to Sainsbury's, uh-huh. down the road, yeah. and then drove back again. And then I parked my car some distance away, and then I walked back from the car in quite a lot of pain by this point. I had a shower, took my paracetamols, patched my feet up, patched my hand up,
yep.
sat down on the floor, this is about 9:30, and thought, yeah, I'm pretty sure that left foot's broken. Because by that point, as expected, the right foot was back to, you know, it was sore, but it was okay. But the left foot was still unable to bear weight and extremely sore and swollen. So at this point, then I waited about 30 minutes because I was like, no, maybe it'll go off. It didn't go off.
Yeah.
So at that point, I had to call in assistance from my brother and dad, who took me to, well, they first disposed of the storage heater because I was like, remove it from my sight.
Okay.
The storage heater must go. Bastard. and then my brother took me around to A&E, whereupon, after a short wait, because it was obvious that I was quite severely injured, they x-rayed my foot and established that I had fractured. Well, they established that I'd fractured my second metatarsal, which is the bone going down to your second toe.
Yes.
Jump forward a week when I returned to London, had to go back to A&E to get into the hospital here. They x-rayed my foot again and established that I'd also broken my first metatarsal, which is quite rare because it's quite a big bone going down to my big toe.
Yes.
So I fractured my foot in two places and I am now in a boot. With crutches.
Wait. To get a perspective, how much do you think this weighed, this storage heater?
It's hard to know because certainly I couldn't lift it after it had fallen, but I had broken my feet, so I also wasn't at full fighting fitness.
Yes.
I think it was probably about 80 kilograms.
Oh my God.
Smack onto both my feet. Well, we did establish, the good thing is that I'm definitely right foot first, because there's always been a bit of debate about that, because my right foot wasn't broken because as it was falling, I was instinctively stepping back with my right foot. So my right foot was grazed and a bit battered and still a bit sore, but it was my left foot that took the full blow. And no, I wasn't wearing shoes because I'm an idiot. I mean, this entire thing has been just...
No, you know what? Your simpleness has impressed me to no end.
Honest to God. If I hadn't broken it, you would have never known I'd done this. I would have just kept socks on for like 3 weeks whilst my feet were covered. I would literally never have told a single soul that it happened. But unfortunately, because it broke my foot, it's quite hard to hide a broken foot, especially when your car is now trapped in Manchester for the next six...
But, surely, if you did this, even falling, you would have, if you didn't break it, you'd still would have been limping. I think I would have noticed that. Or would you wait?
I would wait. I just wouldn't limp in front of you. Give me a limp.
Are you okay?
So that stupidity has meant that, yes, I'm not allowed to drive.
Okay.
My car is on my mum's drive in Manchester to be recovered after the 20th of January when I go back to the hospital to get x-rayed again. And hopefully all of the fractures have healed because they're not big fractures.
Okay.
So, and it's not through and through breaks. So thankfully I don't need to be in a plaster cast and I can shower and all joyous things. So yes, it could have been worse, but it could have also been a lot better. And it also meant that I missed my last year's resolution, which was to do 50 park runs, by 4 park runs.
By 4 park runs.
I got to 46.
46 park runs. You were so close.
So
getting,
close.
So close to so getting close. Your, like, 50 runs shirt. Like, yeah.
And now, at the earliest, I think I'm returning to park running on the 1st of February.
Mm.
So give it a couple of weeks after that. Hopefully they give me the okay.
Oh, well, let's see. You never wait. 46. Oh, you won't have enough to hit 100.
No.
Like.
So my target, my resolution for 2020 is to get to 90 park runs.
Okay.
But that is there's a little star against that, asterisk against that, in case on the 20th of January it hasn't healed.
Wait.
And that gives me, I think, about 5 free weekends.
5 free weekends.
Of non-park running.
Mm.
Plus, obviously, the ones in January that I can't do.
Okay. Yes.
So, yes. And it also, as we said, has affected our ability to get you to marathons because marathons are enough. It's in London. There's none in London. Well, go out in a park, in a field somewhere.
Well, like, this is the thing. You've got to remember, if you're doing something, like, for 26 miles, you've got a lot to shut down. And, like, if you've gone through London on marathon day,
I haven't. I've never. That foolishness has never.
But, like, yeah, it is quite manic about how they've shut things off and, like, get things closed. But yeah,
so fingers crossed, if I'm back up and driving by the 20th, we should be able to get you to the one on the 25th in Telford.
Yes. Sort of going back to it, yeah, to the 36. Yeah, 20, like,
let's move away from this story. It doesn't reflect well on me.
Oh, you mean your poor feet? Oh, poor feet.
Oh my God, it hurts so much.
Yes, I'm sure it does. Yes.
It doesn't hurt now.
I'm sure.
I reckon it's healed. I reckon I can walk on anyway. The nurse at Manchester who missed the second fracture said it'd be fine after 3 weeks.
Yeah, you know what?
Okay. You know what that is? Because Mancunians are hardier.
You know what? Just by the story you told and then missing... By them missing the second metatarsal.
I'm willing to give Manchester the benefit of the doubt on that because I also didn't treat it very well for the first week.
Uh-huh.
So that fracture could have quite easily occurred whilst I was...
It could.
It could have been hairline
It could. But yeah, okay. What I'll simply say to you is don't push it too soon you're definitely... What can I say? You'll definitely make it worse knowing your character.
I know. It's really hard not to just take the boot off and go for a little wander around.
Yes.
So, yeah, no. Okay, going back to your marathons.
Yeah. No, but, like, this is the thing. I'm going to, the 36 challenge. Yeah. Doing, like, the marathons, I think, is the trickiest thing, just trying to find the right marathon in the right place. And it's going to take me all over the country, which, you know what, is a exciting thing, a nice bonus to it. But yes,
We're going to go. I'm going to tie in a few little adventures for us, so we should be able to get through some little mini UK adventures.
Yes indeed. If I can't get all sort of like 12 marathons in the country, I might actually look at doing one, say, in Amsterdam and stuff like this. Pop in on Arjun and, Sterling and say hello at some point.
I'm down with that.
Well, yeah. So I think they've got their marathon either in September or October. I think October.
You what, that one in December's not going to be fun, is it?
Well, that is the one going up...
You decided not to do the mountain one.
Yeah, no.
When you saw a picture of a man with snow in his beard.
No, but swear.
Quite. I mean, I'm not judging you for it. I was like, oh, no.
I can't remember. Was that up Ben Nevis?
You're doing one in Glencoe.
Yeah.
Which is the one that's close to Ben Nevis, but that doesn't go as high.
Yeah, no. Like, that one was definitely...
It was in Northumbria.
Yeah, no, but the one in Ben Nevis does sort of spike my curiosity.
Well, you're doing at the moment, you're scheduled in for the Ben Nevis one.
Yeah. But, like, yes, going, like, that marathon, I think it was Ben, like, call it Ben Nevis.
It was the one in Northumbria with the picture of the man with snow in his beard.
Oh, Northumbria.
Yeah,
okay.
The one that went up, like, 6,000 feet.
Yeah, it was, like, basically, it's a 6,000, like, ascent and a 6,000 descent. Yeah, 26 miles. They say it's Britain's toughest marathon or whatnot.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, this is the thing. As much as I would like to say yes to that, I'm saying no right now.
I have no doubt that you can do the 26 miles. Obviously, you do 26 miles on a fairly regular basis. I very much, and you could do a hot marathon, but I really think you'd struggle with a cold marathon.
Well, like, this is the thing. Like,
you are not built for cold weather.
No way. Look, I might not be built for cold weather.
You're not but a cold
like,
weather
the whole, like, whole thing is, like, yes... The more I think about it, we'll see what happens, like, at the end of the first quarter of next year.
See what happens, but
yeah.
If you die of hypothermia on the side of a mountain, I'm going to laugh, first and foremost. And then say I told you so, and then be sad.
That's charming. You know what? Thank you. Thank you,
you
for your caring.
You laugh at me breaking my thought.
Look, yeah, but you're alive. You might not be exactly well with your feet, but you're alive. You're alive.
You never realise how much you use your feet for until you can't use your feet anymore. I know it's a really obvious thing to say, but really? Honest to God, oh God, and your toes. You use your toes a lot more than you think you use your toes. Woo!
Yes, but we're on the other side of things, doing the 10Ks, I think it's going to be quite easier because there are quite a lot of 10Ks which run in London.
There does seem to be a lot. Regent Park, Victoria Park, which I will probably abbreviate to Vicky Park, and just to annoy, and I know it'll annoy you, but I can't help it. I think there was a couple around Hampstead Heath as well.
Yeah, so seeing as quite close to most of those places, it's all cool.
Yeah, I might come along for a couple of the 10K ones with you after I've got back into it a little bit. I'd like to get down to under 29 minutes on my park run, which I was getting close to by the end.
Yeah.
But I'll take a bit of recovery time.
What I'd simply say, the park run around Finsbury Park is a slightly more challenging course than say Milton Park in Cambridge, which we used to go to regularly. Milton Park is just to paint a picture for you, is more sort of like a wooded trail run. So it can be quite narrow, but it is...
And the problem with Milton Park was it got cancelled quite a lot with the weather, rightly so.
Yes, because it would either be too slippery. Yeah, like, I've seen a number of people stack it in front of me just, like, randomly. But because it's a trail, it can be quite narrow, but can go quite wide. But the beautiful thing about it is quite level, as most things in Cambridge are.
A really flat area of Cambridge? Get out of here.
Look.
No.
For the people out there who don't know what Cambridge is like.
Like a pancake.
Yes, Cambridge is one of the flattest parts of the UK. It is absolutely beautiful for running.
The countryside is a featureless expanse, isn't it? Sky. And feels.
Yeah. No, like, this is the thing. When I was running in Cambridge, I've done quite a few 100-mile weeks running, which is nice and simple, compared to, like, say, Muswell Hill, like Finsbury Park, which, let's just say, it is somewhat hilly. And
it's safe to say that in my current incapacitated state, I can only go in a straight line from my house in either direction. I can't go up or down because I would be stuck. Yes. I would be unable to return to my house.
Yeah.
So I can only go across. I can traverse the hill that we live on.
No, but this is the thing. When you sort of do the Finsbury Park park run, the way they've got it set out, because you're going anti-clockwise, you're like, for large sections of it, you're going uphill.
Yes.
And like the whole thing is you've got the long sweeping hill, which,
and then you got a short little bastard.
Yes. Which basically the second time around, if you're gasping, like spluttering for air on the first one, the second time around, yeah, you'll be walking up it.
Yeah.
I've got to say, yeah, Finsbury Park run is quite tough. But I believe, well, this was a few weeks ago. I think maybe late October. I think they have the record.
I think they've got the fastest time, yeah, on part one now.
Yeah, but like, I don't know.
But that's what I like about part one. You don't need to care about having the fastest time. You just plod along.
Oh, yeah. No, but like this guy, I think I know who's got the record. When I was like basically volunteering, there was like, there's just one guy. Like he's about 5'5", maybe a wiry. Little bit tall. Yeah, wiry guy. Goes around Finsbury Park like a absolute rocket. I mean, like there must have been a good 300-400 meters when he, like on the second time around, like where he was ahead of everyone else, and then like basically saw him just go around the corner and just swept up the hill like it was nothing. It's like, and then you saw everyone else sort of like come like charging up, like, look,
and they're the people that are still doing it in 17-18 minutes probably.
Oh good lord. Like, yeah.
I'm so close to being lapped on Finsbury Park, but I've never been lapped.
No, you know what? By the powers of heaven and hell, if someone was actually going to lap me at Finsbury Park, I would kick him.
I reckon they've been like breathing down my neck a couple of times.
Yeah, I would kick him. I'll do. I'm just like, nope,
absolutely not.
Oh yeah, no, but yeah. Got to say, yeah, Finsbury Park. But it is a fun little run. But yes,
yeah. So hopefully, so yeah, I've got do 90 park runs. Yeah. Listen to an audio book a month. Yeah. Listen to my 4 podcast series. Read a book a month, and then I've got 6 little adventures laid out for us for the tie in with the marathons mainly. So visit some nice places that I've heard of over the time.
Yeah,
some of them I'll do with you, and then some of them I'll do whilst you're doing the marathon.
No, that's good. That's good.
I think it should be. And then you've got your audiobooks,
yes,
podcasts,
yes,
doing your marathons,
mm-hmm,
and then some mental biscuits like exercise things on top of the marathons.
Yeah, so it's going to be a very, very sort of busy year,
yeah,
overall. But like, you know what, like I've got to say, I'm looking forward to the new year, the new decade.
Yeah, I think 2020 is gonna be good.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I want to get the flat sold so yeah, we can put some more money into our little deposit pot for a, mm-hmm, house.
But, like, this is the thing. Like,
buy a bungalow in Leamington Spa. What?
Okay, yeah. What was that? I didn't quite hear you.
Buy a rundown bungalow in Leamington Spa.
Well, we shall see what happens.
We shall see.
Yes.
Sell flat first. Finish flat. Sell flat. Try not to become mortally injured in the process.
Mm.
There's nothing else that can kill me in the flat. It's fine.
Yeah, like, as much as I'd like to believe that, no. Like, and yeah, not move to Leamington Spa. Oh, yeah.
Whoa, you like it once you get there.
Uh-huh. Yeah, sure. But anywho, but I've got to say, the decade from 2010 to 2020, been a good decade.
Yeah, no, right. Where was I in 2010? I'm going to have to go back through the house. Oh, here we go, right. 2007 to 2008, lived in the Orange Balcony building. 2007 to 2008, lived in the Mankey basement flat.
Mm.
2008 to 2009, lived in the Orange Balcony building. 2009-2010, I lived with Stuart in the lot buildings. No, that's Orange Balcony building. We lived with Jen in the Upside Down house.
Mm. In Manchester. Yes. Yes. No, I was in Tottenham.
Yeah.
Good fun and games.
Yeah. Yep. So I'd been a few years at uni.
Mm.
And I was living with my little Bezzy in a very cool house in a very shit part of Manchester. Yes. Oh, lovely Langworthy. My God. It was on fire shortly after that during the riots in 2011.
Yes.
Yes.
No, but you think about it. Dear God, 2011, the riots which kicked off.
Yeah.
And like it was a case of you looked at that and you were like going, what the heck's going on here? It was mental because that pretty much kicked off in Tottenham the night.
I like the fact that those three main areas that rioted in the UK, Tottenham, an area in Birmingham that I can't remember where, and Langworthy in Salford, and the city centre of Manchester.
Yes.
And we both lived.
Oh, well, yeah. No, like, this is the thing. I remember at where I was working at the time, sort of, like, came in, and, like, people were like, oh, and, like, there was a little bit of chuckles about it at the beginning of the week, about the whole riots, and then all of a sudden, when it took over the whole of London, I'm, like, sitting there, like, going, it's not funny anymore.
Oh, yeah, now you bastard.
I go, it's not funny anymore.
Me and my mum watching you see a fire out the window.
Oh, yeah. But, like, then, in contrast, like, 2012, when, like, the Olympics came to the UK, it was absolutely amazing.
I didn't come to London for the Olympics, although I was in Windsor at one point, and the Aussie team were out around us.
Oh, yes.
The ones that had finished their events. But, yeah, it's a shame. I really wanted to come, and, like, I kind of gutted that I never got. I watched the opening ceremony in a pub, which was awesome. But, yeah, I wish I'd managed to get to an event.
Put it this way, after the second week, when everyone did all of their events, all of the Olympians sort of invaded, like Shoreditch. So it's just like, you're like, wait a second, what the hell's going on?
Why are these specimens of physical perfection? I've not felt so inadequate.
Just like, there's the normal people just trying to get on by, just like, yeah, limping along. And then, then there's these sort of Greek gods, like, sort of walking around among them, like, going, yes, mortal.
Right, like, normies.
Yes, look upon my medal. It's like, just like, ooh. So it's like, yeah.
Yeah, I was a bit like that in Windsor as well. Yeah. We just huddled in a corner trying to make eye contact with them.
So, like, yeah, drinking drinks. I like, so you're Olympian.
I was quite hot and I'd made the mistake of wearing shorts out, and I was like, oh, so much cellulite.
Oh, my God. Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. But, yeah.
What else happened in this decade? So 2012 was the Olympics.
2013. Was it 2013 Ed Stagg did?
It would have been back end of 2013, yeah.
Yeah, no, basically, yeah. Like, yeah, Ed Stagg do.
Ed Stagg do.
Yep.
I went skiing, I think, at the beginning of 2013, because that was the holiday you were supposed to go on.
Yes, like, which I quite strategically avoided. Yes. I was like, yay, no.
I also went to Cambodia.
Oh.
Shaved all my hair off in 2013. Actually, 2013 was quite a busy year now I think about it. Yeah, shaved all my hair off in August.
Yes.
To raise the money to go on a charity thing to Cambodia. So I went to Cambodia and then went to Thailand on holiday. That was super fun.
Yeah. Why did you go to Cambodia?
To build a library for some school kids.
With
ActionAid.
Okay, and excellent.
And then the following year, we met.
Yes, 2014.
February 2014.
Yes.
And then I went to Nepal to build village houses with ActionAid again. And then contracted the Nepalese plague.
Yes. That was challenging.
That was challenging for everybody. Everybody who came in contact with me.
That's like... how you doing?
7 months later.
There was a point where I looked upon you and went, maybe I should just put a pillow over her face. Just pull her out of her misery.
Hey, my little friend Kathy nearly did that first. I nearly come back from Nepal and you know what? I wouldn't have blamed her.
Yes.
There was a particular night, if she does ever listen to the podcast, she'll know exactly which night I'm referring to, where... I think we both prayed for death.
I don't blame her.
Fucking God. Yeah.
Don't blame her. Don't blame her at all.
Although the Nepal trip was quite fun in total because, hey, like the you know, mountains and shit's cool and all that kind of fun stuff. And
yes.
You know, it's like every day you go to the Himalayas. Plus, every time I see a Hare Krishna now, which is quite often on Oxford Street, I get to remember the beautiful moment that my friend Kathy was assaulted by banana-wielding Hare Krishna.
Yeah. You want to know what one of the saddest things in the world to see?
A lonely Hare Krishna?
Yes, just one Hare Krishna.
Back at his drum.
No, sorry. Hare Krishna. Hare. You see it very rarely. It's like seeing eclipse if you go down Oxford Street, where you just see one going by himself.
Always, there's always quite a few, yeah. And every time I chuckle and think about the banana-wielding Hare Krishna.
Yeah, wait. But like a banana-wielding Hare Krishna, what happened there?
We were on a bus. Uh-huh. So it was like midway through the trip. So we'd been out and done all of the malarkey with building houses for the villagers, which is very nice.
Yeah.
But we were in like a completely flat part of Nepal, which is not what you go to Nepal for, is it? I mean, what do you think of when you say Nepal?
Well.
Mountains, right? But below the mountains, obviously, is a completely flat, like not even the foothills, complete Cambridge level flat.
Okay.
Right? Where these villagers were. So we went and did that for a week, where I contracted the Nepalese plague. And then we went back to Kathmandu.
Yes.
Kind of crappy Kathmandu. So fun. But I mean, we're talking proper like poverty here. We're not talking like we're not even talking India. We're talking, yeah. You know, way down in the kind of it's about the same level as Cambodia, I would say.
Okay.
Obviously, otherwise ActionAid wouldn't be there. We're going around Kathmandu, but it's got some really cool temples and everything. So we were going to the monkey temple.
Yeah.
But we were all on a little coach thing. And oh my God, we got stuck in the worst traffic jam ever. And we were just like, what is going on here? Like, why is this traffic so bad?
Okay.
And it turned out it's because of the bloody Hare Krishna parade that everybody was trying to get round. And it's not like it wasn't even like Oxford Street, there was about five of them. There was about 40 of these bloody Hare Krishnas on a float. Going down the street.
Right.
All doing the Hare Krishna thing, etc., etc. And so we finally start to go past them. So we're going round them. And we've got the windows open because it's not going to have aircon on this bus. And my friend Kathy's sat next to the window and I'm sat next to him. And as we're going past the float, this Hare Krishna's like, and then offers some food, one of which is a banana. And Kathy, being polite, was like, oh, yes, yes. And then he literally just threw this banana in her face.
A Hare Krishna in Nepal threw his banana at her.
Threw his banana, but smack in her face. Then bounced off her face.
In the face.
His face, and then fell on the floor. At which point I absolutely pissed myself. He's mortified because he's like, oh my God, I'm sure that's against the Hare Krishnas to assault a small woman with a banana.
Look.
She's then like, oh my God, no, it's fine. And then, so I'm still wetting myself about this like 15 minutes later because it was just so funny. And then we got to the monkey temple and taking a banana into a monkey temple.
That's not a good idea.
The banana was lost fairly quickly.
Well, like,
to a rather aggressive monkey that was about the size of Kathy, because Kathy's not a big woman.
Yeah, no, like, taking a banana into a monkey temple where the monkey, like, monkeys... Like, I don't know. Like, there's a certain stereotype. Monkeys like bananas and stuff like that.
It's true. They do. That stereotype is accurate.
My response, if it was me, I'd be like, going, throw the banana far away from me and, like, pray the monkey follows that banana.
We kind of gave the banana to the monkey.
Did the monkey like look at you, yawn, show some big impressive teeth?
It's like if you were a bit of a new fish in prison and you give something to one of the old timers.
Okay.
Kind of thing. One of those interactions.
Wow.
And like I said, this monkey was about the same size as Kathy, so she wasn't going to put up any money. Take the monkey.
I'm quite happy to hear that, yeah, Kathy would have been a monkey's bitch.
Kathy's been a goose's bitch before.
A goose? What happened? What?
She got chased by geese as well when she was on the subway once, because she's about the same size as a goose. Kathy and animals, not...
Wait.
I miss Kathy. I'm going to go and stalk her next time up and...
Okay, no, I'm gonna have to.
You've never met Kathy, right?
No, I feel there's a number of stories.
I didn't
Kathy
see the goose chasing. I just saw her run back into the office like.
freaking geese.
I told you about Manchester and the geese, though.
Well,
it's the goose's town.
Well,
we just live in it.
Yes, person came run by geese.
It is.
just walking around West Side Story.
West Side Story.
Clicking like
da, 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 da. It is.
Da, 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 da. geese jumping in.
I feel like
in.
We need to get back on topic. We might have to edit the entire bit out.
As I go, wow. We're side storying geese. Like, got to love that.
Got to love that. And banana wielding Hare Krishnas.
Well, yes.
So that was up to 2014. Like, quick one. Let's finish our rundown of the century. 2015.
You know what?
Soma Flat. Yeah. Moved to London.
Was that 2015?
Back end of, right at the end, December, right at the end of 2015.
Okay, yes. Because, you know, 2015, it was a quiet year.
Yeah, apart from, you came up to Manchester a lot, I came down here a lot.
Yeah.
Then we moved.
Yes.
2016, well, your mum moved in 2015, so it was before.
Yes.
It was about the time I was moving.
Mm-hmm.
2016.
Yeah.
Quit my job.
Yep. We moved in together. Inglorious Acton.
Lovely Acton.
We were in Acton Central.
Acton Central. Or as your friend would call it, Chiswick.
I'm not gonna even say.
Don't say
name. No. Just stop
he
right there.
He knows who he is.
Oh, you're evil. Yes. Then basically 2017 was when we moved to Cambridge.
So I started the MBA?
September. And then, yes, living in Cambridge through 2018, 2019.
Yeah, so we were in Cambridge from September 2017 up to March 2019. So, finished the MBA, went contracting in 2018.
Yep.
You worked.
I was working all the hours all God sends. Shout out to Swiss Laundry.
Yeah.
Shout out. Love you guys.
And then, this year moved back. Crap, I went to China as well at some point. That was 2015. 2015 I went to China.
Yeah,
2019 I went to Australia.
Yeah, but, when you went to China, you got the Chinese club
elephant foot.
Yeah.
Which is the same foot that I've broken, by the way.
What, like...
That foot, I swear to God, I'm going to lose my left foot before I'm like 50.
Wow.
I don't even know how it's still attached to my... Yeah, so the Chinese elephant foot. Good times.
No, yes, indeed. And yeah, basically, 2019, back to London, living in glorious Crouch End/Highgate, or as the estate agent went, it's Highgate. Which
that's pushing it. It's Crouch End.
Yeah, put it this way, it's Crouch End.
It's definitely Crouch End.
It's Crouch End.
I mean, I'm not even embarrassed to say we live in Crouch End. Why would
no?
But technically, it is Highgate. The postcode is Highgate.
Yeah,
I know, right? Mm. Even though the tennis courts on the other side, literally on the side of the road, is a different postcode than in Crouch End. We're right on the little postcode border.
Well, put it this way, because I remember when we were checking it out. And the estate agent was like, it's Highgate. And for the longest time, I was standing going, no. Something's not right about this.
Because you were the flat bit's too far away from everything. And because I'd looked it up on a map, I was like, mate, we literally need to just walk down there. And then you being a man was like, oh, let me just go and check with a passerby. And the guy was like, it's just down there.
Yeah.
And then we walked just down there and we were like, Crouch End.
You were got to the end of the road.
Oh,
I was like,
right.
It's Crouch End.
Crouch End's here. At which point I pushed you in front of us and we all lived happily ever after.
You know what? I just remember to stamp on your left
foot.
Don't
stamp on my left foot. So I've had some good. I'm trying to think. I don't think I went on any other big travel adventures. So I did Cambodia, Nepal, China, Australia.
Mm.
This year.
Yeah.
This decade. I went to Poland as well and I did lots of trips with work, but they don't count.
Yeah.
Think, when did I go on my other? I feel in 2010. Nah. I feel like I might have gone on another Thailand adventure in 2010, but it might have been 2009.
How many times have you gone to this country?
Thailand have been 3 times.
Okay, right. Yeah. Yes.
So my next decade, I want to do more of Africa.
Yeah.
I want to do, potentially go back to Nepal and maybe do a bit of Tibet and Bhutan.
Mm.
Do a bit more of that area. and do a bit more South America, because I think me and you could have some good South America adventures.
Yes.
Plus, obviously, the camper van.
Well,
that's for another podcast.
We shall see if that ever comes about. But yes, this decade, which is coming to an end, didn't really do that much sort of international travel. Not at all, really. Previous decade, yeah, I was all over the shop.
Yeah.
But this time around, no. Last time I was out of the country was for the stag do in Munich, which was good and all, but it's just like, yeah, need to get out there a little bit more.
Yeah, we'll do some more things. Like I said, I mean, I think I'm not sure yet what I'm going to do this year. I'm kind of tossing up between Kilimanjaro / Zanzibar and Japan. It's tipping towards Japan because Kilimanjaro would be hard work. And I've got a broken phone.
It's like it would kill by
no,
then.
No, I don't want to stress it. I don't want to stress it for the whole year.
If you're going to go to Japan, there's Mount Fuji.
You can't climb Mount Fuji. It's a sacred mountain.
I
don't think you can anyway.
No, because, no, going back to Shoe Dogs, Phil Knight went up it.
Oh, okay. So, as long as they're okay with it, I don't want to offend anybody.
Well, I don't think anyone's going to really go up Mount Fuji if you don't really sort of have any permission.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I didn't think you could.
I think you can. Definitely something to look up.
There's quite a lot of mountains in Japan.
Well, yes.
It being a volcanic mountain in Thailand.
Well, yes. And seeing as they've got enough mountains to host the Olympic Games, like the Winter Olympics.
True that. Oh, I'd quite like to go to South Korea as well.
Why South Korea?
Why not?
Well, there is that answer, but there must be a sort of specific reason why it's triggering you right now.
No, I just think because it's quite close to Japan, you can get a ferry cross. You could go to Japan and get a ferry cross to Seoul. Well, not Seoul, to South Korea and then go over to Seoul.
How long is that ferry journey?
I think it's like going after Spain. It's like, it's wild, but it's doable.
Okay.
It's a day, I think.
Right.
You've got no sense of adventure.
Sorry. I didn't know that was going to offend your sort of sense and romance of adventure.
My sense of adventure.
I'm just thinking about efficiency here. If you've got 2 weeks in Japan, you've got to kind of have everything planned out quite quickly, and sitting on the ferry for 2 days, well, a day or so. Yeah.
When did I get this passport? August 2013.
Yeah.
That's not going to tell me if I went to a. When I went to Thailand.
No. Yes.
That's Cambodia. Oh, I went to India as well. I forgot about India. Nepal. I actually went on quite a lot of it.
Yeah, you went there for work, if I remember
right. I did go. We won't show the listeners, but look at the picture that's on my visa.
You know what?
It's so bad.
Yeah. I'm surprised that person hasn't been arrested.
I know. I look terrible on it. It was taken at work at 7 o'clock at night.
Oh, dear.
After getting through oh, my God, the Indian visa application. It's not quite as bad as the Chinese visa application, but it's still pretty bad. So I'm okay. I actually didn't think I travelled that much, but that's actually not a bad little travel thing for for a decade.
No, sounds good. Sounds very good. But yes.
I feel like Australia jibbed me and didn't actually stamp my book. Probably because, I don't know.
Well, yes. Don't worry. In a few months' time, or a year, or maybe in an eternity or two.
Please start stamping us again when we go to Europe.
If that ever happens. Because, yes. Brexit is the never-ending story of political movements, but nevertheless.
So all good, babes. I think we're looking forward to next year and to a whole new decade.
Okay, yeah. You know what? This seems like a good place.
I think it's a good place to end.
Yes, but yeah, what I'd simply say is, let's make 2020 a prosperous one, an exciting one, and share hopefully many a great adventure.
I'm gonna be mortgage free by the end of the decade.
Mortgage-free by the end of the decade.
That's my mish.
Mortgage-free by the end of the decade. Mortgage-free by the end of the decade.
Mortgage-free by, how old am I now? 35.
Yeah. 45. Well, yep. So, yeah. Take it from there. Okay, on that happy note, I'm going to end it there. Thank you very much to anyone who's been listening to this. It is excellent. Do you have any social medias or things you want to put out there?
No.
Okay, no worries. And yeah, I'd like to say thank you very much. Have a great day. Have a great new year, if you that's when you're listening to this. And yeah, look forward to seeing you in the next one, my friends, my life warriors.
Bye.
Fare thee well. Bye-bye.